From Yoga and Ayurveda Living, I am Kelly Marie Mills. This is The Dosha Life, a podcast for wellness seekers, curators of happiness, and lovers of healthy living. This podcast is for people interested in tools, remedies, and ancient wisdom coming from Yoga and Ayurveda. Welcome to my happy place. This is Series 6. You are on Ayurvedic Yoga with anxiety and stressiness. Ayurvedic Yoga is pretty good with anxiety and stressiness. And we have had a lot of practice to find ways to let Ayurveda help yoga. Because unfortunately, it has become a part of our life. Stress-related illness has gone viral. Over the years, I developed my own general definition of stress. It is the delicate balance of a structure's ability to bear weight. And when the structure can no longer hold the weight without creating a problem within its own structure, this is the beginning of stress-related problems. And for our body and our mind, anxiety is a vata, heavy, heavy weight. Vata is movement, and vata tries hard to understand things, but when it can't connect the dots, if you notice, there's space between the dots, and this also increases vata, making it harder and harder for space and air to connect one focused stream of thought, setting off all sorts of problems, especially for a vata body-mind type. Pure vata types don't have it easy, since they have so little to support them unless they have a good system outside of themselves. Pure vata types are willowy, short or tall, and find it very, very difficult to gain weight, very difficult to remain focused. Often, when unbalanced, find it hard to sleep and rest and feel rested because their willowy, spacey, moving nature finds it hard to stop. So because they have so much movement in their own body, they must seek things that are all about the other three elements, fire, water, and earth. And those are their remedies. So like warrior pose is really good for vata, big problems, finding strength. The fluid nature of the body, slow and regulated. And balancing postures really help vata problems. Because space and air combined, it shows up to us as movement. Vata rules and runs and is captain of our nervous system. And because there is very little weightiness there, it has to do with vital body functions. And anything to do with movement in the body means vata and the nervous system are on the move. Since there is an integral link between vata and the nervous system, imagine how fast any reaction to life happens for a full vata type. They don't have a minute to even think before their reaction is showing up, and they can often be shocked and surprise themselves when it happens. It's almost traumatic. It's like when someone decides that they want to play a little joke on a vata type, and the vata type is just minding themselves, creating something wonderful in their mind and not taking much notice of anything outside. Or vata types, they really tend to be all flowy and sway. Or if you know that song, Moves Like Jagger with Maroon 5. That's exactly a vata type, the Mick Jagger body type. And suddenly, out of the blue, someone jumps out from around a corner and the vata type doesn't know what's happened. The vata type is flailing their arms, screaming like a goose caught, because geese are like vata types too. and they have so much upward and outward energy, it's so exhausting, and then overwhelm happens. And that's when the fright gives a bit of a shaking to the body. And it's hard then to find a good soothe for vata when it goes beyond the sort of simple daily problems of a vata type. When it gets very, very heightened, even sugary tea won't help. Actually, it would probably make it worse because it just vibrates the system even more. But a warm blanket would help. Being told to calm down really won't help. But curling up small and tucking yourself in towards your body will, like child pose, or curling on your side, or sitting upright and rounding your head towards your knees, all will really help to restore the central nervous system. And especially slow, long breaths out, if they can. But maybe on top of all that, you didn't sleep well the night before from some stress or creativity, which is also a vata problem. And you know the remedy. The first and best remedy, apart from the breath, is some warmed oil on your tummy. It doesn't always have to be warm if it's just room temperature. And a hot water bottle. And as a vata type, you probably know this already. It will soothe you on the very tired days of too much work, too. Calms you down straight away and stops anxiety in its tracks. Even better, warmed oil on your whole body, on the crown of the head, a little bit in your ears, and around the edges of your nose. Let it sink in to 20 or 10 minutes. And then have a warm bath or a hot shower, and just feeling the oil sink into the cells of your body. And when you're ready, having a warming herbal tea is just perfect, re-nourishing the body once again, helping to fill the spaces that a high vata moment has created. And I guarantee you, any of those remedies will work, but especially the breathing and the oil and heat treatment, which is either the localized treatment to your tummy or lower back, or the warmth of the oil on the whole body and a shower or bath. And you know this upward, outward flailing of arms is one of the five types of vata called vijana. And vijana is the one that delivers nutrients to our body and also delivers adrenaline. The vayus are expressions of vata. It's just that vata is like the umbrella and the other five live there. You already know the main one, but they're all super important. All the doshas are important. Without one working, the other cannot work. We have all three doshas within each person, and each of these doshas, the three doshas, each have five vital operating components. And this helps us to identify with the main way of using Ayurveda as a treatment, using yoga as medicine. So the first is prana, like I said. It is a part of the essence of our life, the unaltered universal wakefulness. But because it is a part of vata, it is also an unstable form of the essence of life. Now that's another story. So we'll just slide forward. Prana is the precursor to the inhale, and it happens before the breath, but we are taught initially that it comes from the breath, like alongside the breath. But prana is the beginning of all things, even those things that we do not like. It being the movement of the life force, it is an ending. So if it is an ending, it is also moving towards the cessation of whatever may be happening. Prana fills us up through the soles of the feet to the crown of our head, but it mainly starts at the first chakra, drawing up towards the crown chakra. As humans, we tend to have ideas about things, and this can alter our pranic intake. It can also vitiate it. But prana can scoot alongside any of its own vayus, just going for a spin. And deciding to try out a hiccup or a little heart palpitation here or there, you need that, don't ya? Prana resides in the head, and it's always trying to benefit our life. Prana resides in the head, and it's always trying to give benefit for the four goals of our life. I'll send you a link in the show notes. And it sends us little nudges, little reminders little soft kicks and playful ticks, sneezes, to get us to listen up. Yo, we got the start of a problem down there. You hearing me? But our mind gets to make choices on how the body gets to operate. And this doesn't always work out so well, because like I'm always saying in my classes, we need to pause to hear what our internal intelligence is telling us. And we have Samana Vayu, or Samana Prana, and it's the balance of air, which in fairness is a total paradox. Like, how could we possibly balance air? It's active on the in-breath, pulling prana in towards the center of the body. And when balanced, we can digest our life sufficiently and understand easily. So when not balanced, you know what happens. There's lots of confusion. This prana, this samana prana, negotiates the path of our digestive system in its peristalsis. It helps to increase the vibration of transformation of our digestive system, of the food we eat, of what we take in as sensory information. And when it's balanced, we can digest our life sufficiently and understand really easily. This samana negotiates the path of the digestive system in peristalsis. It helps to increase the vibration of our transformation and does exactly the same with all nourishment, all sensory information we receive. When out of balance, it can get hyper or hypo, and both cause problems in the body as either sluggishness, or disarray, or unbounded misunderstandings and frustrations. All are emotional responses to not being able to perceive information with discernment. But if we're lucky and we have some amount of balance in our digestion, we mostly don't really notice that samana is helping us to digest our life. We have vijnana then, and you already had that example of it. And this is the opposite movement of samana. It transmits and sends nourishment from the center of our whole being out towards all of the edges. It's mostly activated on our exhale, and it's the one that gives us the gut instinct. And like I was saying, it can scare the bejeebers out of us and get us to run when it's only a joke, but also gives us the power to soothe our whole body. Like when warm oil sits into the body. Like when we are in Shavasana after a yoga practice. Like when we are in stillness and the silence of meditation. This giving way to all that is. This is too Vijnana Vayu, or Prana Vijnana. Udana is the one that most of us may not really consider as a thing to live with, because, you know, it doesn't come to us like an action of the body, but it is like one of the most important actions because it's all about expression. And I know I did a conversation on the Vayus already, but this is coming from a different perspective. It's more about looking at the basic ways, the things that we can do to help ourselves. And so with Vijnana Vayu, it's about kapha. And it's about releasing excess kapha. Mainly because excess kapha blocks a balanced udana, blocking it through congestion, stagnation, or dullness. So it's really interlinked with samana vayu. If samana isn't working properly, if our digestive transformational fire isn't working properly, then the expression of udana is really lowered, it's really reduced. But there's ways to heal kapha in the damp winter of Ireland. Or if you live in Canada or Seattle, put your hands up. I totally get it. Ujjayi breath, the snoring breath, helps to keep kapha in balance, or it helps to reduce it. But also you have to work with your food too, and a gentle detox, springtime and autumn, are the best ways to move forward with any imbalances of digestion. If you think of kapha as this dense, phlegmy substance, the breath, just air and movement in the head, through the nasal passages, the throat, the dryness of the breath, and using Ujjayi breath, which is a tiny restriction a tiny Hapa swallow holding the throat so that it's harder to bring the breath in and out, so that it restricts the breath moving in and out. It just slows it down. This can help to remove and reduce excess kapha. But make sure and meet with a good, solid teacher about this delicate practice of ujjayi, or the snoring breath. It's always best to have tuition before you start something new, especially a breathing practice or a physical practice. And the tuition is specific to the dosha that you're working with and the dosha type that you're coming from. So if you want to learn with me, just send me an email at kelly@thedoshalife.com and I'll be happy to help or direct you elsewhere. Anapana is not really the last prana that I wanted to talk about, but it's here because it's the only prana, vayu, that is not always on. We don't always have it switched on. It just doesn't arrive. It's the timely one. It's the one that depends so much on regularity from the balance of vata. It has specific times for doing things, and it needs to know that there is a structure in life for it to operate properly. If we overdo our social life, if we overdo our work life, if we overdo our eating, I would think like, you know, the busy celebration times in our life. This all increases vata and can reduce apana, so it imbalances apana and probably stops it working or makes it work so fast that we don't know what's happening. Our digestion can act weird, out of sync, doing too much or not enough, or our menstrual cycle changes, or it doesn't arrive, or it gets worse. It just doesn't function the way it did before. These are both big outages of Vijnana Vayu, of the energy that opens the body to eliminate what is no longer needed. So it too is a significant way of letting go. The Vayus, the five pranas, are the most important forces in our life. And for the next few days, try my favorite relaxation, the link in the show notes. I've said it a few times already. I'm always promoting it because I have found that practice so useful for me when I'm very stressed. And it will guide you in a way, first and most importantly, to connect to the Vayus, to understand them innately in your body, to get to know them, to befriend your body, to feel them and have aha moments through the day. Because if you're practicing this every day or four times a week, suddenly in the middle of the afternoon, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I must do this apana breath. I must do this vijnana breath. My fingers and toes and hands and head, my nose get cold. So if I do vijnana, I'm going to warm things up. If before I eat, and I know I've been very, very busy, doing a little samana breath will actually really help my digestive fire. But also after eating, doing samana breath to help increase the digestive powers so that I can transform the food and help to assimilate it better. If I'm feeling tired and sleepy in the evenings and I know that I have a little bit of work, like for me teaching at night, I do get tired around 6 p.m., so I do pranic breathing and a forward fold. That really helps me to revitalize just long enough to enjoy the teaching, to come home, and then to get ready for bed. So it's not to overactivate anything, but it is to reduce things, to help things slow down, to come back into a sense of oneness or wholeness, less fractured. So we leave today coming away from with anxiety and stressiness, the vata heightened responses of freaking out in our own bungalowing effect, or like bananas in pajamas jumping around and can't escape. And next week we cover Pitta's special powers of agony. And we all need a good balanced internal fire to help support our discernment, the love of eating, the appetite for life, and knowing that whatever we have, whatever we may wish we had, we can always come back to the beautiful inner wisdom that we need not have it all, but have what we need. All goals of desire come from a need to know peace, laughter, understanding, and love. So I'm going to leave you for now, and may we all find what is already here in unity. I look forward to chatting to you in the next episode. Here you will find Monday's meditations, Tuesday's episodic series, Friday's relaxations, interviews with very cool people. There's spiels from Kelly, that's me, on bits that she forgot to say, very normal, or has to say. And Kelly's own are surprise bits and things that you need to know. If you want to help, the best thing to do is download the episodes. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, all help. Thank you to everyone listening. But for now, I look forward to chatting to you in the next episode.